Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
11 minutes now after 1 o'clock. This is indeed the Cabranes Law Hour. Lou Turner sitting in for Glenn Klein. And with me, as always, is Attorney John Cabranes. Attorney Cabranes, how are we doing today?
We are just peachy. How are you?
I'm doing well. And our lovely guest, and I'll tell the story, Shanaz Lakdawala. How you doing, Shanaz? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
A story.
And Jordan Schrader. Yeah, because it's been a while since I filled in. And the one with the hard name, I remembered immediately.
Right.
And Jordan Schrader, forget it. I have no idea.
And pronounced it correctly.
And pronounced it correctly.
I might add.
I'm very proud. But anyway, well, so sorry, Jordan. But welcome back.
Thank you.
So what's on the docket today, Attorney Cabranes?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, the news of the last week or so has been, you know, immigration. You know, we just heard in the news about the guy who sexually assaulted a 15-year-old and has been deported twice. And you've heard about the president's immigration ban from, you know, certain countries. And I think, you know, I'd love to hear people's opinions on what they think of this. Is the ban a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Do they think it's, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, do they think that, you know, are they supportive of it? You know, what do you think of this guy who sexually assaulted the 15-year-old and has been deported twice? I mean, is he like the poster child for the immigration problem? You know, what do we do with people like that? And do we smear a whole community of people, good, hardworking people, by the actions of a few sociopaths? You know, so give us a call at our WRJN. We want to talk a little bit about immigration and how it, you know, what you think of it, because, you know, ultimately, one of the things that we do is, you know, we give legal information, but, you know, I'm kind of curious to see what the community at large thinks about, you know, what's going on and what, in your opinion, should be done.
All right, 634-9756 or 634-WRJN. Phone lines are wide open. And I have heard, Attorney Cabranes, that you have sort of specialized in immigration law over the years and know a thing or two about it yourself.
I am. I am a member of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, ALA. I do a fair amount of deportation work, and I do a fair amount of adjustment of statuses. So I see we have a caller.
Hello,
hello, caller. You're on the air with Attorney Cabranes. How are you?
Yeah, I'm calling from all this. You know, I'm doing fine, thank you. Good to hear Attorney Cabranes. I've had the privilege of meeting him several times. Very, very nice gentleman.
Well, thank you.
He seems okay.
Yeah, I want to make a comment on what President Trump did.
Yeah,
as you know, banned, and I think the media is just ridiculous. They're talking about this and that and their rights and blah blah blah. Well, guess what? They're not U.S. citizens, so they don't really have rights. They're here at our pleasure, and you know, if they don't like our laws, well, they're more than free to go pound sand or go wherever it is that they come from. That includes the Mexicans, too. And I'll tell you, you know, yo soy Latino, yo puedo leer y escribir. You know, I read and write and speak Spanish. I'm a Latin, so I'm not saying that in a biased kind of way.
No.
I think that people that come here and work, you know, that's good.
Well, let me ask you this, and you know, all other people who are out there listening and may want to chime in on this conversation, but what do you think should happen to the people who've been here for 20 years, who really haven't created a problem, who've raised their families here, who basically have been an asset to the community in a lot of ways. What do you think should happen to them because they have no documents? Should they be deported en masse, or should they be allowed to stay, or what do you think should happen?
Well, if they are actually illegal from another country, they should try to start to take steps to become legalized. There's people like Teresa Mora. She works for Congressman Paul Ryan, and she helps with immigration problems, etc.
Right, I know Teresa very well. But let me ask you this, because you raise a good point. And the were you born here, by the way?
I was born in San Antonio, Texas, here in the U.S.
Okay,
yes.
So you were born here.
How about your folks?
Okay, yeah, that's a fair question. Were your folks also born here?
Right, my people date back from the Canary Islands when Queen Isabella commissioned 200 families to come and occupy the frontera.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's where we're from. But we have family in Mexico also, you know. And
well, the reason I ask you this is this, because, you know, there are people who have gone through the adjustment process, and there's two types of adjustments. There's some of them can do what's called an adjustment of status, which means that they don't have to leave the country. And some people go through the consular processing, which means that they have to leave the country. But there's usually a familial connection, you know, a brother, a sister who's requesting that you be given papers. And that, by the way, takes 20 years. You know, there is your parents can petition for you. What happens to the people who come here and don't have that family that can petition for them? You know, but they come in, they're hardworking people, they do what you expect people to do, they raise their family, they try to raise their family well, you know, try to get an education, do the right things, do the things that we've always considered to be pro-social. What do you think should happen to those people, even if they don't have that connection to stay in the country?
He's asking you.
I think that's where our politicians need to step up, because everything has gotten to be so bureaucratic and about the money and about the underhanded type of deals. There was a time where people just came over here. That was it. They didn't have to pay nothing. All they had to do was just have a willingness to work and you know, start a new life.
Well,
and we came through, you know, Ellis Island at that time. And, you know, our government's just gone and gotten way, way, way more complicated, and things are a lot more harder for even the average person that does already live here and is a citizen, let alone a foreigner coming to a new country.
I don't disagree with you, but I want to ask you a question. I don't want to put words in your mouth, okay? So if I say something that is not correct, correct me. So what I'm hearing you saying is, that those people who don't have the family connection which would permit them necessarily to petition for their U.S. residency, legal permanent residency, you think that some type of immigration reform that would allow them to adjust, some people might call that an amnesty,
sure.
You think that that should happen?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. As long as they are willing, I don't care who they are, Mexicans, Arabs, Palestinians, whatever, as long as they're willing to conform to our laws, not bringing their laws over here and Sharia law and
sure.
Or, you know, wanting to share the bathroom with the
Well, once they're over here, they have to follow our laws, so.
Okay.
They have to.
Well, I appreciate
our
we got some other callers on this, so I appreciate your input on that, and thank you for calling in.
Hi, you're on WRJ with Attorney Cabranes. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call.
Hey, my pleasure.
All of us have our own thoughts on anything. That's why we're Americans.
That's right.
And I think the point of singling people out, this guy's Spanish guy, this guy's the Chinese guy, these guys are the Iranian guys, this and that. I think that's the first thing that needs to stop. And, okay, if everybody's worried, yes, you're always going to have problems and people doing stuff. But I think that the way it's going about it is wrong. And to tell these people they can't come and, hey, you've lived here for 30 years. Mr. Garcia, man, you've been a great neighbor. You got beautiful children. On the other side, we've got the Brown family, great neighbors. I love their dogs. Never had a problem with them. Now, here we are deciding who does what. And I think that all of us, when we look in the mirror, I know I do. I go, you know, I'm not all there. I don't think that I should be making the decision of who comes and who leaves. But I know one thing. When we all pass, there is no color, there is no religion, there is no nothing. There's just God, and he's the only one out there that'll make that decision. So I feel that what Trump did is not what most people are thinking or doing. And I think that his main thing that I think people voted him for was he was going to turn us around. He was going to get us all jobs. He was going to get all of this straightened out. And the way that he's going, he's wasting time. Stop all of this. Yeah, you can have these people work on this issue and this and that, but what issues has he worked on? Nothing.
Well,
this is consumed him.
Well, let me ask you this. Two separate issues here. One of them did, and you don't have to answer this question because your vote is a private vote, but did you support Trump?
No, I didn't.
Okay, neither did I. If you've listened to this show, you know that I was a never Trump guy. You would agree with me that it's only been 21 days since he's been inaugurated, and all we seem to have talked about over the last 3 weeks is Donald Trump. You would agree with me with that, right? So he's done a lot of things. He's done a lot of things, some of them that we can agree that are not exactly what we would have wanted from our president or our government, right?
I agree, but like I say, I think that all of us should just kind of we should have backed off a little bit and seen what his ideals are and see what he's thinking of doing, how he's going to better us. But he's got so many people upset and so many people mad. We're not accomplishing. We need to accomplish it all together. And listen, building a wall and all of this craziness, I think that Keith, come on. We need jobs. We need to get our schools straightened out. We
sure.
need to make sure that our grandmas and grandpas are taken care of. We need to start educating people. Do you know, and this is heartbreaking for me to get on a radio and say this, my son is graduating high school in 2 years, and he's got a third grade reading and a fifth grade math. He don't get in trouble. He ain't got a bag of marijuana. He ain't got pills, we ain't got alcohol because we're a Christian family, but the schools, and I'm looking in the mirror right now, we've all let these kids down. And then when you go to the Horlick thing there, when they tell you 7 out of 10 kids don't graduate, there's something wrong here.
Yeah. So you think we got bigger fish to fry than immigration right now?
I agree. It's time that we need to figure out how to get our children so they can support themselves, and how they can read and write, and how they can pay their bills, and they can buy stuff for our grandchildren. People, we got to get together on this. This fighting over this stuff, we're going to wake up one day and we're going to be the old people.
We are the old people.
I think I'm already there.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. Well, it's very heartbreaking.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for your opinion, and thank you for calling in.
Well, we've got two calls, pretty divided. already. This country's right down the middle, it seems like to me.
Yeah, and I got to tell you that if the last 3 weeks are any indication, we've got 4 years of this to look forward to, because I don't think it's going to stop. I think that the left is adamantly opposed to anything that he does. I think the center is split right down the middle, and I think the far right is very supportive of some of this stuff. I mean, you know, you have somebody like Jeff Sessions, who I'm not a huge fan of. You know, I forget who the senator from Massachusetts is that just got shut down the other day.
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, thank you. You know, I got to tell you, nobody's going to shut me down. You know, I think that Jeff Sessions has his race issues, at least as a history of a documented history of some questionable decisions that he's made, questionable statements that he's made. But, you know, here's a guy who not only has basically come out against any form of immigration reform, calling everything an amnesty proposal, but he's also come out against legal immigration. As we were talking about before the show, this is a country of immigrants. I mean,
it's the melting pot.
It is the melting pot, and
it
should be. We are better for it. We have all of these experiences that come in from all over the world, and I got to tell you, you go to a swearing-in ceremony for U.S. citizens, and you will see some of the happiest people you will ever see anywhere. They're waving their little American flags. They are so happy to be part of this country. And that's what this country has always been about. I mean, we have welcomed them in. Now, as we have welcomed them in, I mean, anybody from a German heritage, Irish heritage, Hispanics, everybody gets their turn in the barrel of being sort of at the bottom of the barrel and getting dumped on. But the true story of this country is that we rise above. In tough times, we always turn against somebody because, you know, people like to divide us into groups and we're fighting with each other. And I agree with with both of the callers, quite frankly, that talked about, you know, feeling that that we're being divided and pitted against each other. And that's not new with Trump, because Obama did the same thing.
Well, and you talked about the partisanship, too. I mean, that's been going on really big time for probably the last 3 or 4 years. You know, you just are going to automatically be against it because the other side came up with it. Doesn't matter if there's any merit to an argument or an idea.
Right. I think what you're going to see is this country is fundamentally a centrist country, center left, center right, but fundamentally centrist. And whenever things get too far out of skew, the electorate takes care of that thing. And so I think what you're going to see in the elections coming up in 2018, the congressional elections, is you're going to see the Democrats either win back the Senate or make some significant inroads in the House, because that's what happened in, if you all remember, in 2010, when we had the elections. People were unhappy with Obama and his policies, the Tea Party especially. The power in the House of Representatives shifted to the Republicans, and they were able to block a lot of things that Obama wanted to do to continue that move to the far left. Well, we have a move here to the far right. I don't think people are going to be very happy with it. And so my prediction is, ladies and gentlemen, that you will see a change in either the Senate or the House in about 2 years. And so we're going to go back to that stalemate where, yes, people are going to be forced to move to the center. You know, Clinton did that. Clinton did that when he lost the House of Representatives. He was forced to move to the center. And you can think whatever you want about Bill Clinton. But Bill Clinton was practical enough to know that he couldn't govern without Congress. And so he did whatever he had to do to sort of pass his legislation, that meant that he had to move farther to the center than probably he wanted to, but he did it. you know, and it seems that that practical application of power seems to have gone out the window, because now basically everything is so partisan that if a Republican brings it forward, the Democrats are automatically against it. If the Democrats bring it forward, the Republicans are automatically against it, and they fight to the death.
Well, you know, I don't follow politics that well. I know who I like, I know who I don't like, but I don't study it in a way that I could really argue a point or not. But I remember Bill Clinton, who you're talking about, and Newt Gingrich, who are not buddies, were able to hammer out legislation and actually keep this country moving and get things done, even though they were one side and the other of the aisle. But that just seems to be out the window now.
Yeah, and you know, I got to tell you that I've been a student of history. I love history, and when I was growing up, I would read biographies and I would read history books and things like that. Yes, I was that nerd.
but at least somebody knows what's going on.
Yeah, but you know, this whole era here reminds me of just before the Civil War, you know, where you had a senator caned in the halls of Congress for speaking out against slavery, and so you know, the rancor between the parties is so high that they can't talk to each other. And of course, you have somebody like Donald Trump, who's in office now, who feeds off of that. Because, I mean, you look at Chuck Schumer, and I have nothing good to say about Chuck Schumer.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, I have nothing good to say about Chuck Schumer. But, you know, Chuck Schumer gets on TV the other day talking about the Muslim ban, and he starts to cry. And then what does the president do? Instead of basically ignoring it and just moving on, he makes it worse, accusing Schumer of crocodile tears. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know where we're headed. But I would certainly like to hear from any of you out there who are listening. I'd like to have you guys call in to the station, and let's talk a little bit about where you see this country headed, you know, give us a call.
Right, and we'll do that when we come back from a quick break here. 32 minutes now after 1 o'clock. I have some phone numbers for you. If you're a little bashful about calling in and talking to Attorney Cabranes live on the radio here, his office number is 262-638-0529. That's 262-638-0529. Your first consultation is free, so feel free to call the office if you have something specific you want to get into. We're 634-9756 or 634-WRJN, and we're going to continue this conversation after news time. Tom Carco on the way. We'll check our weather forecast as well here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
Welcome back to the Cabranes Law Hour. This program is brought to you by Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. Attorneys have neither the time nor information during this show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, make no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular legal issue. If you would like to call the office of Attorney Cabranes, 262-638-0529 is your number. If you want to call us, 634-WRJN, that's 634-9756. And with that said, it's back to Attorney Cabranes and our guests also, Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader, talking immigration. And where did we leave off?
Well, Shanaz is going to tell us how she feels about this Muslim ban.
Well, I mean, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I am Muslim. And, I mean, after he put the ban in place, I think I got about 10 phone calls from scared family, scared friends, you know, just people in the community who were afraid of what was going to happen to them. And I think those were about the hardest 2 days of my life that I can remember, because there was just a lot of emotions. And I mean, there was good emotions and bad. I saw all the support out there. And I don't know if anyone's watched the video of, I know, I'm sure Attorney Cabranes has not watched it because it's on The Daily Show. with Trevor Noah, but, you know, he has a Muslim American correspondent on there who was like, you know, I kind of thank Trump because here we have people like actually out there supporting Muslims, and basically Muslims are praying at the airports, and that would have never happened if it wasn't for this ban that he put in place.
Well, are they supporting the Muslims or are they just anti-Trump?
No, I think they see that Trump's doing something that's completely, you know, out of line, and they're against that. It's not that they're anti-Trump. It's his policy that's just blatantly racist, you know, and it's promoting Islamophobia. So I think that's what they're supporting.
Well, you know, you would agree with me that, and I'm not a big supporter of Trump, as we all know.
No way.
No, I know. It's a shocker. But,
By the way,
I think
caller,
you're asking questions.
If there are callers
leading
out there who are Trump fans, go ahead. Give us
yeah,
a call.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear
We're
what
not
you
be
think.
Not going to be mean.
No, not at all. Not at all. Here's my philosophy, and this is why I don't have any problem. You want to call up here and say, Cabranes, you're an idiot. I'm happy to hear it from you because, you know, I'll tell you why. Because this country was formed on the basis of people being able to express their opinions. And the problem in this country over the last few years is that when somebody expresses an opinion that is not your opinion, they try to shut them down. Look what happened in Berkeley just last week. I mean, they bring this right-wing wacko in to give a speech. The little snowflakes out there get offended that somebody has a contrary point of view and literally riot. And the people who organized that riot apparently have been quoted as saying it was very successful. I got to tell you, this is not the country that I grew up in. I'm 56 years old. When did it become okay to silence other people's points of view? I mean, the ACLU, and by the way, you know, I am center right, but I have always been a big fan of the ACLU. The ACLU fought for the right for Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois. Okay. Why? Because they have the right to express themselves, no matter how hateful their speech is. It's still protected speech.
I think Ku Klux Klan had to be involved in some town parades as well in our southern states.
Sure.
But
sure.
With what you're talking about, I mean, I think it was just the fact that I think this person, that I don't forgot his name, but he just has horrible things to say about, you know, the LGBT community, and then there's other stuff. So they didn't want that person going into their school and on their school campus and saying that on their school campus. So it's not that they're trying to, I guess, stifle his voice in general. I think it's just the platform that he was doing it on.
The person was invited by a student organization onto that campus. And, you know, does that mean that that student organization doesn't have a right to put out their point of view, no matter how disgusting it may be, no matter how hateful it may be? Are we now so afraid of people telling us what they think, if it clashes with our beliefs? Are we so afraid of opposing opinions that we have to just shut them down and shut them up? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'd love to hear from anybody who has an opinion on this topic, because, like I said, you want to call me an idiot? Call me an idiot. I've been called a lot worse than that over the years. But call in, you know, tell us what you think about this, because, you know, there are First Amendment issues. There are some very basic issues here that come into conflict. The right to somebody to express their opinion against, presumably, people think that they have a right to stifle opinion, and that's never been the law. I'd certainly like to hear from anybody who thinks that demonstration in Berkeley last week was appropriate. Or if you thought it was inappropriate, you know, give us a call and tell us why you think it's inappropriate. But, excuse me. My wife has been sick all week, and I think she's passed it on to me.
It goes around 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. I think you said something interesting earlier that they said this. You called this a riot, and it was a successful riot. Do we have a successful riot? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think they refer to it as a demonstration, but, okay. You know, I don't know when you start destroying property and you start having people arrested the type of behavior that you saw in Berkeley. When you think about it, flip it on its ear. Just go back 50 years, okay, and think about what it was like in the mid-60s when you had the left, okay, who wanted to basically be heard on the subject of Vietnam and on the subject of race relations, on all these subjects, and people were trying to shut them down, and the left created havoc in places like Berkeley because they wanted to be heard. And now what's happening is it's the left that doesn't want the right to be heard. We go in cycles. And this is just another cycle of intolerance. And yes, the left can be intolerant, just like the right can be. I'd like to hear more. What do you think, Ms. Schrader? What do you think about hitting the streets and basically shutting down opinion that doesn't agree with yours?
I think there's a better way to handle it than riots. Like, they could have brought in their own person if they wanted to be heard about something. And I mean, you shouldn't. People have a right to be heard, and if you don't like it, then just keep your mouth shut or don't destroy property over it.
How about this? Argue. That's what we used
to
do.
Yeah, argue.
Have a healthy debate about it.
You know, you could have very easily had a big demonstration outside of the forum where this person was speaking, where you could have had speakers basically, you know, talking about tolerance and talking about, you know, those issues that this individual was going to talk on the inside, and essentially have that type of debate, which would involve necessarily people coming in to hear. What happens is that that's not acceptable because somebody's then espousing a view that isn't your view, and so they must be destroyed. And so that's what's going on here. This is not the exclusive province of the left. The right does the same thing too, and it's just a question of whose ox is being gored at any particular time.
Do you think that maybe we're just too sensitive these days? I mean, we're so politically correct in so many ways. You can't say this because it could offend that person, or this person may have their feelings hurt, or something like that. Are we just going in that direction too much?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I honestly.
And we're done.
To expand on that, I got to tell you, I was raised in a different way than kids are today, and I'm not saying it was better. I'm not saying it was worse. But it was just different. You didn't have the helicopter parents all the time. You would go out and you would find things to do. I have a friend of mine who has a child and she's trying to give her experiences all the time. And she's really working hard to let her experience things. Well, you know what? When we were growing up, because you're about the same age I am.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, we made our own experiences. I mean, we went out with our friends. You know, we may have done some really stupid things. We survived them.
We learned from them.
We learned from them.
They were experiences nonetheless.
And they were experiences nonetheless. That's right.
Well,
and
I think media plays a part into that as far as people being overprotective about what's going on, because there's bad information. Media is all bad information. Not bad information, but it's...
Well, it's not all
the scary stuff.
Yes, thank you. That's what I was looking for. Scary.
It's the evil mainstream
yes.
media. Yes, there you go.
And not all of it that you see is true either. Now that we have all these social media platforms, people just throw stuff out there and...
Fake news.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I blame Dr. Spock. Okay, and for those of you who don't know who Dr. Spock is,
I mean, child psychologist.
He was a child psychologist who wrote a very famous book, and it basically set out some guidelines for parents on how to nurture their children as they went through childhood, which in of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. But I think what's happened is that, you know, people have taken it to certain extremes. You know, at this point in time, I mean, let me ask you this. Did you ever do something so bad when you were a kid that either
I have
mom,
to talk about this live on the radio?
No, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask what you did.
Okay.
But did you ever do something so bad when you were a child that mom or dad decided to take you over their knee and give you a couple of whacks on the rear end?
Yes.
Okay.
Quite a few times.
Yes, and I was a hellion too. Okay, and I took my lumps too on the rear end. You know what? You do that now, and you can be arrested for child abuse. You can have not only that child, but all of your other children taken out of the home because you've abused your child.
Now we're talking about a spanking here.
You know, is the point of the spanking? Is the point of the spanking that the slap on the rear end? Okay, is that supposed to hurt?
I believe it is, yes, because mine did.
Well, mine did too.
And felt like I was on fire.
That's right. And so, you know, now I gotta tell you, I have a case right now where there's a handprint on somebody's rear end, okay? And that person has been charged with child abuse, and their children have been taken from the home because of a handprint on somebody's rear end, okay? So, you know, you can say, okay, well, you know, children should never be spanked. Well, that's not the way we were raised. We were raised that there are consequences to our actions. And so what happens is somewhere along the line, that line of consequences and actions got blurred. And I think what's happening now, part of what's happening in this country now, is that you have a situation where people have as part of this whole concept of nurturing this child and sort of blurring the consequences of your actions, you have people with quite frankly unnecessarily high self-esteem, people who've never accomplished anything, who think that their opinion trumps yours, and you know what? Their opinion is a valuable opinion. I take nothing away from their opinion.
Yeah, they're all equal, or should be.
That's right. You know, but opinions are just that, opinions. Some people want to trade, you know, opinions for facts, and that's when it's not okay. You just point out the facts. But you know, everybody's got their opinion, but nobody wants to listen to anybody else's opinion. And I think that's part of this process that we've developed over the last 50 years where, you know, kids are told how wonderful they are. You get trophies for participation.
I was just going to say the participation award.
Yeah, you know. And
I look forward to those.
Yeah.
I'm sure
you got
sure
participation
you
awards?
Oh, sure. I mean, I have no doubt that Shanaz and Jordan got participation awards. Jordan.
Mine were all first place awards, so I didn't need the participation.
Whoa. But who's keeping score?
No, that's right. No, keep score. People don't even keep score now on some of these things.
Well, you know what? I can see we didn't keep score when my little kids were in T-ball, okay? Uh-huh. But, I mean, as you move forward, you know, winning might mean something.
Yeah.
Working hard to an end, like a victory of anything, a game. Yeah. You know, we certainly keep score in the Super Bowl.
Well, we keep score in life, too. We keep score in how you get promotions at work. You come in, you do well at your job, you get the attention of the higher-ups, and you get promoted, you get more money. You don't do well, you get fired. You know.
But that would hurt my feelings.
Well, I don't dispute that.
and to
that I say I'm sorry that your feelings were hurt. Don't let the door hit you in the rear end on the way out. but you know that's the problem we have in this country today. You know, apparently nobody wants to talk about what they think about that. But
because you're going to shut down their feelings.
because I'm going to hurt their feelings. You know what? I have been accused in the past of being somewhat insensitive in my response to people.
No.
It's true. It's true. I have been insensitive, and I fully admit that there are times when people say something so amazingly stupid to me that
you've got to call them out.
That I have to call them out, and again, I'm expressing my feelings about what you said. You can either like it or not. You can respond to me and tell me that I'm a jackass. If you want to do that, that's fine. But we listen to each other. We express opinions, and that's what fundamentally is the American way, and we're losing that. And I don't know why we're losing that. I have no answers for it. I'm not running for office, by the way, so don't look to me and say, "Well, this guy sounds like he's running for office." But I'm not running for office. I just see changes in the country that I grew up in that I can't explain, and they're not changes for the better.
Yeah, well, we started off talking about immigration, and then we started talking about President Trump and how the country is divided, and then how nobody can get anything done because nobody can argue, and that's why we kind of went into the participation award thing and why we're too politically correct. But at some point, there's a disconnect with an argument to an end. It can't happen these days, it seems like.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, or whatever. When Obama was in, they would stop him from doing anything. When Trump's in, the Democrats are going to try to stop him from doing anything. And it's just like we're spinning our wheels here.
Yeah, we really, when you think about it, ever since, I would say probably, I can't remember who the Speaker of the House was in 2000. It was still Gingrich, I think.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I think it was still Gingrich. I think Pelosi came in during the midterm elections.
Jordan Chenaz, jump in. Who was it?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Like I say, I don't follow politics as I should.
But the bottom line is what's happened here is that you've had gridlock in Washington for the better part of 17 years. Okay. And part of it has been because you have a system of divided government, which is fine. And it's fine and it works perfectly when people are willing to listen to each other. But nobody wants to listen to each other. And so what happens is you want to try to resolve a problem, and you find the other side isn't listening to you. You can't get the votes to pass the laws that you need to pass to resolve the problem. I don't know what the answer is, but sooner or later, we're going to have to do something, and we're going to have to move forward as a country. And maybe, and I'm just spitballing, maybe it's going to take some serious disturbances in the street to get people to start moving in the same direction.
Well, you mentioned earlier the throughout history there have been some pretty heady times that have caused change when these really intense divisions start to form.
Yeah, and in the 60s was classic because you came from the very conformist age of Eisenhower, where everybody was sort of plain vanilla, into the 60s where everything sort of got turned on its ear. And that's great. I honestly think that an open debate on what direction the country should go in is what should happen, and everybody should have an input. But at some point the talking's got to stop and the movement has got to begin. And some people are not going to like the direction that you're moving in. I mean, that's clear. Everybody should have an input. Everybody doesn't get to say, "We're not moving," and so that's just my point of view. You can agree with me, you can disagree with me, but that's my point of view.
All right, and let's give your phone number while you're out there. If you want to disagree in person, it's 262-638-0529. That's the office of Attorney Cabranes. 262-638-0529. First consultation, if you get in there, is absolutely free. Attorney Cabranes, Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader. We're done for another week. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, thanks for filling in.
You bet. This is the Cabranes Law Hour, heard each Friday 1 o'clock here on your radio friend, WRJN.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend WRJN.